Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to all of our Tenpenny Files premium members who are listening to these deep dive podcast interviews that are done specifically for this audience. We also hope that you enjoy the special events that we've done over the last few months, where you will have lifetime access and you get special discount codes on products, apparel, webinars, and more things that we do. And that's as a thank you for your monthly support to this broadcast, because without your support, it's your support that keeps us going here. During our deep dive interviews, we have a personal conversation with our guests about what inspires them and find out a little bit more about who they really are. So with that, let me introduce to you today's special deep dive guest, Ollie London. Ollie London is one of the internet's most recognizable and talked about names. His struggle with identity issues and extreme plastic surgeries has been well documented over the media for the last 5 years. He's amassed millions of followers and billions of views, which has led to his bio said 120 TV appearances, but he told me that he's had many, many more since then. But 120 is a great milestone. But yet, with all this notoriety, few really know how much the full depth of the battle of gender dysphoria and gender identity that he went through and how he shares it with others. His book, Gender Madness, is an intimate look into what led him to become a Korean woman. He even underwent 5 facial surgeries in one day, and he told me at one point he had 11 surgeries in one day, and how he overcame this battle to become an advocate for millions of young people who question their own identity. He describes how self-acceptance and faith in God ultimately turned his life around. He recently announced very publicly he has detransitioned and is now living again as a male. Ollie London is an outspoken activist, a delightful guest. I've really enjoyed having this conversation with him. He resides in Los Angeles and splits his time between Washington, D.C. and London. Ollie, thank you so much for sharing your story with us this morning and for these next few questions that are specifically for our Deep Dive Premium Podcast members. I really appreciate you being here.
It's great to be here with you and your incredible audience. Thanks.
So if you were to get into an airplane and fly above so where you could see, or maybe go into the space station and see the whole world at a more of a higher view, what would you say are the biggest problem or some of the biggest problems in the world today?
Firstly, I'd probably be quite scared to go into space. But secondly, if I was in the space station, I was looking down on the Earth, I would say, obviously, we have constant wars, you know, so obviously there's the Ukraine-Russia war, we have Israel and Gaza, and, you know, throughout the world, there are wars. I think that is one issue. You know, we're in 2024 now, we have technology, we have intelligence, so, you know, there should be other ways. It's not always the case, of course, but there should be ways to have diplomacy and more peace. And, you know, we have issues with nuclear weapons. You know, Russia has a big arsenal. China has nuclear weapons, and you know, Iran is building nuclear weapons. So that is another key issue that's affecting us right now. And now I think, you know, what's going on in the world in terms of deforestation, the Amazon is very a big deal. I mean, we look at Amazon, we look at Borneo in Indonesia, and, you know, that is very, very problematic because we're losing so many species from doing this. And I think that's one of the key things that needs addressing. And also, if I was looking down at the world, I'd think, you know, more people need to live in the countryside. It's a much nicer existence. You can grow your own vegetables. You can have a farm. You can have land. It's a much more, beautiful existence. So, you know, of course, you see cities that are getting bigger and bigger and bigger from space. But I think, you know, more people would feel happier to have their families living in the countryside, whether that's Kentucky or Kansas. I think that would be one observation I would make.
Wow, that's really important. So you've got both a social concern and also an environmental concern. So that just speaks more loudly to who you are. And through our first conversation, it just speaks very loudly. So the second question I have for you this morning is, what drives you to keep going in this whole gender madness arena? What keeps you engaged in this passion? Because I'm sure that it's cost you a lot. It would be easier to just, you know, quietly go away into the night and do your own thing. So what drives you to keep you staying in this fight?
So it's when, you know, every day if I'm going somewhere, I have people coming up to me. It's of all ages, you know, sometimes it's grandmas, sometimes it's dads, and they want to shake my hand, or sometimes they want to hug me. And like, to know that you've helped someone you've helped give that person a voice, because we have to remember most people aren't able to speak about these issues because, you know, they're worried about losing their jobs. They're worried about maybe trans activists turning up and causing problems. They're worried about the hate. Some people just can't deal with that online hate, which is completely understandable. So, you know, for most people, they aren't able to speak up. So, you know, when I meet people that are thanking me for doing that, you know, I feel that I'm doing something right, that I'm helping people. And, you know, I have so many parents coming up to me and saying, you know, I've helped them, or my book has helped more, just me speaking up has helped give them some kind of clarity to help their kids. You know, that is an amazing thing. I have, you know, young university students, and they will say, thank you. It's tough because the universities are pushing this on young people, but, you know, it's good to have a voice out there and stuff. So that keeps me going. It keeps me going that I know that I've helped people. I've saved people from going through these things as well. And, you know, it is tough because in terms of sacrifice, I do this because I want to help people. So I don't think about the sacrifice. But, you know, I used to be a musician, so I used to get invited to a lot of, you know, film festivals and fashion shows, and I had so many brand deals, and I've lost a lot of that because they, you know, they think it's transphobic to speak up for kids, and it's absolutely not. You know, we need to remove these phobic words that are attached. You know, people get called all these names. It's absolutely not transphobic to say that a kid should not be doing this. It's not transphobic to say men shouldn't be in women's sports. It's just a fact. And, you know, we need to get back to a society that speaks common sense and is not afraid to speak the truth. So, yeah, for me, that is, you know, I have to go for all that, whatever the brand, losing brand deals. But for me, it doesn't matter. It's like, right now, I just want to help give people a voice that don't have a voice.
Wow. That, and you certainly are. Thank you so much for your work for that. You know, you mentioned in our first interview that there's a lot of things in your book, publications and research and interviews with people that you just can't go and Google it. You know, it's like I say that to a lot of people. We have a huge library of vaccine information. And so you can't just go out and Google anti-vaccine information because of the censorship. It just doesn't happen. So in your quest for looking at these studies and finding information to share with people that they don't really see, was there any sort of topic that you stumbled across or that you read that you went, oh my gosh, I didn't know that? That was a big aha moment for you?
So, I mean, I found studies that people wouldn't be able to find just from a quick Google search. So I went into scientific journals and published data. And there's a few studies that stood out for me that I speak about in the book. There's a Canadian study by Dr. Brady, who was really a gender transition pioneer in Canada since the 70s. They performed thousands of transitions on young people. They actually published a study where they actually said that they regret what they did. And wow, the actual research does not support doing this to young people. So, and in that study and another study that I found from the second biggest gender clinic in Finland at Tampere University, they also said that they were also performing these gender transitions on young kids. They were diagnosing kids with gender dysphoria. They were prescribing hormones. They also said the same thing. They said, look, maybe we made a mistake. Maybe it isn't right to do this to kids, because the data is showing that most of these kids, both studies showed most of these kids grow out of gender dysphoria. So when they become, you know, an adult, 18, 19, 20, they completely forget about their gender identity struggles and they're happy being them. So that is something that really, really stood out for me. And I think it's important to know that the vast majority of kids grow out of these feelings of gender identity by the time they're an adult. The other thing that stood out for me was the fact that many, many of these kids have other conditions that aren't being diagnosed. So the Finnish University, so the Tampere University, Finland study found that a significant number of kids that were diagnosed with gender dysphoria had autism. That is a huge, huge factor. And of course, that links with vaccines as well. I'm sure you've spoken about that before. So a lot of these kids are autistic. There's also a lot of kids that have bipolar. Some of them had schizophrenia. Some of them had severe depression, suicidal tendencies. You also have the studies showing that some kids had experienced trauma in childhood. Some had been abused. So all of these factors, when you look at them as a whole, these many, many of these kids already have these troubles. They already have pre-existing issues and concerns. So, you know, they were being misdiagnosed. A kid that's struggling on the spectrum was being told that the reason they don't feel like other kids is because they're trans, but actually they're just autistic. And that was one of the findings of that study. So I think that is very, very important to know that most kids grow out of this, and most of these kids have pre-existing conditions that are being ignored.
Wow, that is an aha thing. That is really, I've often wondered, of how many of these kids that were really being bullied or being pushed into this whole agenda, because like we spoke about, that it's a protected class. And if they came from a family where they were kind of ignored or abused, and they already felt like they were not the most popular kids in the class, so to speak, they weren't running around with the popular kids. How many of them would have just benefited from some adult love, care, and counseling, to make them feel good about themselves? Like you said, that our whole culture is you're not good enough. If we could have put some inspired some kids to understand that they're just fine the way they are, and that they will be good enough, they are good enough, and that they will, this too will pass, That's really, really huge. Well, let me ask you a couple of quick questions, just sort of fun things here. We've been talking about some pretty heavy issues for the last hour. So let me ask you, what do you like to do for fun?
Great question. Well, I spend most of my time now obviously doing activism, but for fun, I like to read books. I like to go on nice walks. I love traveling, so I love, I love going to nature scenes. I love going to mountains and forests, and I love the outdoors. And I think it's good to be grounded, to sometimes take your shoes off and touch the grass. I think that's a lovely thing. So I love nature. I've been to many countries, been to unusual countries like Kazakhstan, which was, if you like weird architecture, very space age, that is the place to go because you feel like you're in a Star Wars episode. So I like going to unusual places. I go to a lot of events as well. And, recently I went to an event with a cardiologist that was speaking about vaccines and food and, food being modified. And that's interesting. So yeah, I spend a lot of my time learning things that, I'm not familiar with. I like to learn things.
And you've mentioned several times that you've traveled a lot. Do you have a favorite country?
America. I love America.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow. That's surprising.
Well, I've been to about 25 countries. I've been to China, Korea, Kazakhstan, so many countries. And for me, I go to America all the time, and for me, it's such a beautiful country. I mean, because you have such, you have Nevada, you have the deserts, you have, Antelope Canyon, you have in Utah and stuff. So beautiful. I was in Arizona in December, and, I took a desert walk, and you're seeing all the cactus, the cacti, and the mountain range. It's just beautiful. And what I love is the people. The people are so friendly. Obviously, it depends which city you're in, but, most, vast majority of people are so lovely and welcoming, and for me, I just love America. It's such a great place.
Wow. Well, thank you. That's nice to hear. I don't know that I've asked anybody that question that they've given me that answer. So you mentioned also you like to read. Do you have a favorite author or like a book genre you like to read the best?
Well, I like to learn about the world, so I like to learn about history. I like to learn about politics. A particular, author I like is Yeon Mi Park, who's actually a friend of mine. She's a North Korean defector. She fled North Korea as a teenager, and her book, her last book, As Time Remains, I felt was very interesting because she drew a comparison between communism to what is going on with all of this woke ideology in universities, including the gender identity issues, and it kind of really does link to communism in the sense that, it's about kind of breaking down people's identities and making people conform to the trend and going along with things that aren't common sense, saying that a man is a woman, it kind of links to that. So I thought her comparison with the current state of the US with the woke politics compared to her experience in North Korea was very, very interesting. And I'd recommend that as a read. But yeah, apart from that, I just love history books, about ancient Egypt, about the Middle East, and so many great books out there. And yeah, I need to put your book on my reading list as well.
Well, thank you. So one more time, mention the name of that book again, just because you sort of said that in passing. And if my listeners are listening, they go, what was that book that he recommended? What was that?
So it's Yeon Mi Park is the author, and As Time Remains. So it's speaking about her experience in North Korea and comparing how North Korean society and politics is towards the woke culture currently in the US.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of comparisons for that that people are just ignoring. So let me ask you what, we're getting just a couple of more questions here. As you pass on, when you pass on at the end of your life and you look back over your life and your spectrum, what would you like to be remembered by? How would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered as trying to help people and, also be remembered as someone that turned their life around just to show that that is possible. You can go from extreme. A great example is Mike Lindell, who everyone knows, the MyPillow founder. He's a great example because he had a really tough time. He actually had a crack addiction and he was able to turn his life around and give his life to God. So I think that's a good message or legacy for somebody that went from extreme. I struggled with the trans ideology. I was, very woke and I was able to turn that around. I think that would be my message that anything is possible. Whatever you've been through in life, you can turn that around and you can use that experience, whether bad or good, to try and help other people.
I think that's lovely. That's a really special, lovely message for people to hear and to understand that no matter where you are on life's path, no matter how far down in a hole you think you are, on any sort of agenda, financially, spiritually, the trans agenda, morbid obesity, I mean, whatever it is, you can change your life around and you can get back on track. And I think that your message, Ollie, really gives people inspiration in those sorts of ways. What final words would you like to, of wisdom, would you like to leave with our listeners today?
What I would just say to everyone listening is, every single person in this world can make a difference, whether that's helping your neighbor, whether that's just being kind to other people, giving someone a compliment every day. And I know your audience are fantastic, great Christian people, but we can all make a difference in people's lives. So just always remember that and always don't be afraid to speak up for the truth because, there are people out there that can't speak up, but, always speak up for kids, speak up for women's rights, speak up for parental rights, and, always fight for the truth.
I think that's great. So I want to thank you again so much, Ollie, for being here with us this morning. I've so enjoyed this conversation with you, and that you're such an inspiration for people of all ages, for what you've done in your book that you've written. For the listeners, we had a little conversation offline about, he said he did his entire book in 3 months, and he said he's never writing another one. So make sure that you go out and you get his book on, the woke agenda and really what you can put that into your library and really help kids these days. The book is called Gender Madness, and you can get it at Amazon and at all the retail sellers of where they are. So, and tell them one more time where they can follow you on Twitter because of all the information. You told me you tweeted like 100 times a day sometimes.
Yeah,
Holy
I do tweet a
cow.
lot. So yeah, I'm very active on Twitter. I share a lot of stories and news about the gender issues and other issues going on in the world at Ollie London TV. So all the news that you might not see in the mainstream media, I kind of create like an aggravated news feed and find all these stories that need kind of international attention.
That's very, very good. So I want to thank all of our premium podcast members for being here this morning. You got this little special look behind the scenes at all the things that, our great author and friend here, Ollie London, was really talking about and what his book is all about. Your monthly support makes our work possible. Thank you so much from the bottom of my heart for your kindness and all your prayers over the last few months, particularly, but for sure over the last couple of years. So with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my broadcasts, whether it's pre-recorded or whether it's live, with Romans 12, 12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet again next week on the next broadcast, stay strong, stay in prayer. He'll never let you down. Ollie, thank you again so much for being here with us this morning. For everybody else, have a good week. Goodbye and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.